It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
All right, we started talking about this on the show within a show. Real quickly, two passengers have tested positive for hantavirus as a third one shows symptoms after the cruise ship has been evacuated. A French woman and two Americans tested positive or showed symptoms of hantavirus this morning as nations around the world scrambled to repatriate passengers from a cruise ship hit by an outbreak and quarantine or isolate them. One of the 17 American passengers evacuated from the ship and flown to Nebraska also tested positive for the hantavirus, but is not showing any symptoms. Another had mild symptoms, U.S. health officials said late yesterday. Now, the flight landed in the early hours today and stopped near buses and police vehicles there in Nebraska. The Americans were first taken to the University of Nebraska Medical Center, which has a federally funded quarantine facility to assess whether they have been in close contact with any symptomatic people and their risk levels for spreading the virus. Now, before you start to panic, I'm looking at you, Parker. WHO director of the World Health Organization, which, you know, we're not really part of anymore, but we can still get reports from the World Health Organization. The director has stressed that the general public should not be worried about the outbreak. This is not another COVID, he said, and the risk to the public is low, so they shouldn't be scared and they shouldn't panic. So just keep an eye on things because, quite frankly, and I'm not hoping for this at all. But if, God forbid, something were to start spreading, I do not trust our administration to handle it well based on past experience and based on yesterday when the president said, we have it well under control. I think we have it under control. Okay, this is, you know. But right now, again, we're not trying to spread panic or hysteria. Nothing to worry about yet. Just know that it's there. Know that they're monitoring the people who were on the ship. And, you know, if anything changes, we'll keep an eye on it. All right, some other stuff you need to know. This hits closer to home. Wes Edens. You might know that name because he is the billionaire co-owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's been identified as the victim of an alleged $1 billion extortion scheme following a brief torrid love affair, which are the best kinds. Now, this is according to reporting in the Wall Street Journal. The charges filed in federal court do not publicly identify Edens, but the Wall Street Journal confirmed he is the person described in the indictment. The case is set to go to trial later this year. News of the alleged blackmail comes the same day as Eden's daughter, Mallory, was set to represent the Bucks at the 2026 NBA draft lottery. Prosecutors have charged a 46-year-old woman with blackmail, extortion, and other charges in the alleged shakedown. It continued for months, starting in late 2024 and went through spring of 2025. The blackmail reportedly began following dissolution of a brief romantic relationship between Edens and the woman. Now, according to court records and the Wall Street Journal, she threatened to publicize photographs and videos of she and Edens in compromising positions if Eden did not pay her more than $1 billion. Wow. And you thought having to buy a girl a dinner was expensive, Parker. That's less than a billion. She even reached out to Eden's family members, told him she would approach investors, and pledged to destroy him. Well, you know what they say about hell hath no fury. She reportedly accused Edens of having sex with her while she was mentally incapacitated and told him the cameras in her home had recorded everything he did to her. He denied the claims but reportedly participated in the scheme to avoid public embarrassment and to prevent his family from being harassed. Court records show he previously agreed to settle the matter for $6.5 million with $1 million up front. A spokesperson for Edens told the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Edens will be making no comment on the case as the indictment speaks for itself with respect to the charges against the defendant. Man, that is a horror story. That is some Fatal Attraction kind of stuff right there. Unbelievable. I've dated some crazy women in the past, Parker. I know that probably surprises you. But since I didn't have multi-billions of dollars, none of them tried to, one threw a brick at me, but none of them tried to extort money off me, which I guess is good.
Well, you piqued my interest. I dodged the brick, but I think that's for another day.
I dodged the brick and I dodged the relationship.
There you go.
What I cannot dodge is more stuff we need to know. Mm-hmm. See how I did that? Yeah. So Iran has responded to the latest U.S. proposal to end the war, according to their state media yesterday. That's after an exchange of hostilities that followed the Strait of Hormuz. Hostilities around the Strait of Hormuz in recent days, highlighted by the fragility of a ceasefire the two sides reached more than a month ago, which, if you've been following the news over the weekend, we've been shooting at each other. So I don't know about the ceasefire. Well, of course, as soon as Iran sent this message to and ceasefire proposal via Pakistani mediators, saying they wanted to negotiations to focus on permanently ending the war, but guess what our president quickly said? Well, he rejected it as totally unacceptable in capital letters on Truth Social. Put no other details in there, just totally unacceptable, which is kind of par for the course for the way that this administration is dealing with international relations, where we don't sit down and negotiate because, well, they'll call us, is what the president told us before. So still waiting for that call, even though the message did come in through Pakistani mediators. Now this one is totally unacceptable. So on Iran's front, they seek to end the war on all fronts, including in Lebanon, where Israel is fighting the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militant group, and to ensure the security of shipping, State TV said. So Washington's latest proposal addressed a deal to end the war, reopen the strait, and roll back Iran's nuclear program. So earlier yesterday on social media, the president accused Tehran of, quote unquote, playing games with the United States for nearly 50 years, adding, they will be laughing no longer. So again, resorting to threats, saying they're now, again, the Iranian regime is not to be trusted either. But at least there are, we're finding out through other channels, through the Pakistani mediators, that there are proposals coming that way. We do not, we're giving all or nothing ultimatums. We have decided, we as a country, and by we, I mean the administration, because I surely do not share their viewpoints. The administration has decided that ultimatums are better than negotiations. And this is a all-in, win or lose. There can be no subtlety. There can be no compromise. It is a zero-sum game. We're either going to win, which who knows what win means in Donald Trump's world now, since he hasn't really given us even a reason why we're there that's reliable in any way. So how is this going to ever change? Because his idea of diplomacy is sitting on Truth Social, typing in all caps. Now, the president did say he's giving diplomacy every chance we possibly can before going back to hostilities. That actually was not the president. That was Ambassador to the UN Mike Waltz on ABC yesterday. Iran's new supreme leader, who has not been seen or heard publicly since the war began, issued new and decisive directives for the continuation of operations and the powerful confrontation with enemies while meeting with the head of the Joint Military Command, that according to state broadcasting in Iran. Now, the fragile ceasefire was tested, if you were paying attention over the weekend, and quite frankly, I would not blame you if you weren't. If you can find a day to completely unplug from all of this, take it. Take it when you can, because I have a feeling all the bad news is still going to be there with more piled on top of it if you take that day to unwind. So the fragile ceasefire was tested when a drone ignited a small fire on a ship off Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates and Kuwait reported drones entering their airspace. The UAE said it shot down two drones and blamed Iran. No casualties were reported. No one immediately claimed responsibility. Qatar's foreign ministry called the ship attack a dangerous and unacceptable escalation that threatens the security and safety of maritime trade routes and vital supplies in the region. The United Kingdom Maritime Trade Operations Center gave no details about the ship's owner or origin. Now, the president has reiterated his threats. to resume full-scale bombing if Iran does not accept an agreement to reopen the strait and roll back its nuclear program. Iran has largely blocked the strategic waterway. That's key, as you know, as we've said many times, to the global flow of oil, natural gas, and fertilizer. So the markets are going up. We're all paying more at the pump. The negotiations are not happening because the president doesn't want to keep sending people over to Iran or to Pakistan to meet with Iran. So we're stuck with a president who is, even if there are negotiations going on back channels and in, you know, behind closed doors, his public taunts on Truth Social are setting all those negotiations back if they're even happening. So, okay. Well, guess what? Closer to home, the FBI has decided they are going to investigate Wisconsin's 2020 election. Yes, remember 2020? That was 6 years ago. Remember who lost that election? The current president. You know who can't let it go? The current president. The FBI has started an investigation into Wisconsin's 2020 election that, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's reporting and talking to some sources, the investigation is only in a preliminary phase. It's focused on vetting previous complaints, and no ballots have been seized in Wisconsin to this point, according to the sources. Now, confirmation of the probe came as the Journal Sentinel reported that an FBI agent had interviewed a state election official in recent days. The agent spoke with Wisconsin Elections Commission Deputy Administrator Robert Keough and discussed how elections are handled in Wisconsin. We've covered this so many times. We told you how elections were covered here. You audited those elections and everything was fine. So the president, as you know, repeatedly falsely claimed that he won the 2020 election. The recount in two Wisconsin counties that his campaign paid for, court rulings, a state audit, and a conservative review have all confirmed that Trump lost not only in Wisconsin, but the entire election. But in Wisconsin, it has been litigated and investigated and checked over. According to a spokeswoman for the Wisconsin Elections Commission, we are not aware of an active investigation, but they have been preparing for an investigation, especially in Milwaukee. So he's focusing on Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin. They've all been central in his false claims that he won the 2020 election. Remember? Oh, in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, he says, oh, there were all the dumps, the vote dumps and the ballot dumps, and it's just stop. Just stop. But it will not stop, and so neither will we, because Parker, I'm nothing if not a man who will not quit. I'm like a dog with a bone. We're going to stay on top of this.